السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا بكم. Welcome everyone. Welcome to our get together. I don't want to call it a podcast, but our conversation with Sheikh Ishtiaq that we're having on a weekly basis, speaking about some of the daily recitals that we recite on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or we should recite on a daily basis. Sheikh, Assalamu alaikum. How are you doing?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it's nice to be back again.
Sheikh, it's almost the only time in the week where we talk uninterrupted. We're able to enjoy a conversation, mashallah.
That's right. Our school is really busy. Alhamdulillah.
Sheikh, you got some special miftah here. I mean, I don't have that one either.
Yeah, no, this is special.
This is limited edition.
Limited edition? Yeah.
As you join, peace, assalamu alaikum. I think Maghrib time has come a little back, so by this time most people have prayed Maghrib Salat. Sheikh Ishtiaq most probably has broken his fast as well. He does his fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. May Allah make it easy for him. Sheikh, where are you right now?
Me? Where am I? I'm in my in-laws in the basement.
Should they lock you up there?
I'm always locked.
You can't go anywhere. You gotta stay here.
I'm gonna have to stay.
Sheikh, are you taking care of them or they're taking care of you? Which one?
Oh, they're taking care of me, Mufti Saab, big time. It's amazing.
Then we accept quietly. Then we take.
Yeah, they're really looking after me.
And looking after your son too, I'm sure.
Alhamdulillah.
Allah protect him as well. How's your week been, Sheikh?
It's been hectic, Mufti Saab, but alhamdulillah, no, we're getting there.
You're getting through?
Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, Sheikh is moving, closer to us, inshallah. Allah make his move easier. Assalamu to everyone. Hopefully you guys are doing well. Please assalam as you join. And as you know that we do this weekly, we talk about a specific portion of the Quran. And on Wednesday night, we have Sheikh Abdullah and Mufti Abdurrahman that join and they talk about behind the scenes. On Friday night, we have a Friday night live. On Friday night live, this last Friday, Sheikh, we had like Alhamdulillah Qari Sa'ad Nomani who joined us, and he started, reciting in different voices and different tones.
Yeah,
Masha was very beautiful. I was gonna ask him to recite in my tone as well. And
Mashallah.
I realized it might be a little difficult for him.
You read beautifully. Mashallah.
Come on, Sheikh. Don't flatter me. I know I don't. But khair, Alhamdulillah. Now, this week we also have a special guest. Inshallah, we'll announce it on Wednesday. So be sure to stay tuned so you can benefit on Friday Night Live. Sheikh, let's get right into it, inshallah.
Bismillah.
So this week we were talking about, what are we talking about, Sheikh? Why don't you give us a rundown of what we're speaking about?
Inshallah, we're going to be speaking about the last two verses of Surah Baqarah, inshallah. Verses number 285 and 286, inshallah, today.
So, Sheikh, why are these two verses special? Like, what's unique about them? Because last week and the week before, we spoke about Ayatul Kursi, and the 2 weeks before that, we spoke about Surah Fatiha, and most people are able to connect the virtue of those, surahs or excerpts of the Quran. What's special about these two verses, Sheikh?
First and foremost, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his special journey to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this journey was already planned because when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when he knocked on the certain levels, and the prophets on the certain levels asked, who is it? It's Jibreel, who's with you? They said, Muhammad, has he been sent for? So we're already waiting for him. And it was during the Mi'raj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam got these two verses.
SubhanAllah. So it was a gift that was given to him during his journey of Mi'raj.
So there was no intermediate. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his you could say angel Jibreel was with him, they came to a certain point, Sidratul Muntaha. Angel Jibreel said, I can't go any further. I can't go any further than this. And so mashaAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself received these two last ayahs of Surah Baqarah, and it's a special treasure that lies under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke about the size of the arsh as well last week, And
this is part of the treasure that lies beneath the Arsh of Allah, the hadith mentions, right, Shaykh?
Yes, yes, the special treasure.
Whoever reads from these verses, we are indirectly or directly seeking to take from that treasure that is right beneath the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because everything is beneath the Arsh of Allah. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ But this is directly beneath Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Arsh, and it's a treasure, and it's the only way to get from it is to recite it. And Shaykh, the another hadith which talks about the blessing or the virtue of these two verses you were mentioning before, can you please mention that as well?
Yeah, it's a hadith that's narrated by Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who said, now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites the two verses at the end of Surah Baqarah, they will suffice for him.
Mm. SubhanAllah. Yeah. Meaning that whosoever, so if I can just digress in that specific hadith, whosoever recites these two verses at nighttime, it will suffice for them. Like they don't need anything else to protect them except for these two verses. It will take care of them during the night, and it will also suffice for them if they read it in the morning during the day. It will protect them from all different types of calamities and difficulties. And we find this to be a fairly consistent virtue in many of these daily recitals. Surah Fatiha, we find it to be there. Ayatul Kursi, we find it to be there. And these last two verses, we also find it to be true over here. And the reason for that is, at the end of the day, the greatest protection can only be given through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is our greatest need. When Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Makkah al-Mukarramah, he said, Rabbi ja'al hadha baladan amina. Oh Allah, make this a city that is full of peace. Right? We want to be we wish to be secure. We want to be secure in life. So Allah gives us that sense of security through different ayat of the Quran. And these two ayat are amongst those. So if we can just continue, Shaykh, speaking about these two verses, and we'll try to cover both of them in detail. The greatest, the largest surah of the Quran is Surah Baqarah. And in Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses majority of, it's a Madani surah, so Allah discusses majority of the issues and rules that pertain to our Sharia. How to pray, talks about Hajj, talks about Siyam, talks about these different pillars of Islam. But at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it like the cherry on top of the cake, where he says that this is all of these rules that are sometimes difficult to understand, difficult to learn. You got your son there, Sheikh Umar?
No.
That's fine, Sheikh.
My cousin's children are here downstairs.
They're watching you?
No, they're looking for the cat.
Okay. So what type of cat does he have?
Yeah, they're here. They're looking.
Very good, Sheikh. No worries. So all of these rules are mentioned: the rules of Hajj, the rules of inheritance, the rules of zakat, the rules of salat, the rules of siyam. And at the end of that, Allah says, "Hey, man, we believe in all of this." آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِن رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Believers are people who unequivocally believe in all of these rules. They don't separate from the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't do tahrif. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضٍ. Like how some of the people of Ahlul Kitab, the Jews, would do, is they would believe in some portions and they would ignore the more, you know, challenging aspects of their Sharia. Allah in this verse kind of cements our belief that when we believe in everything. أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Right? There's no tiptoeing around the different commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We openly believe in all of them. We openly accept all of them. Yes, it may be difficult for us to bring all of them into our life. And that's why there's a struggle. And we aim to, you know, hopefully find a point in our life that we're able to bring all of them into our life. But that's the وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. That's a struggle that we're going through, that hopefully one day this can also come into my life and that can also come into my life. So nonetheless, Shaykh, I don't want to get too far with that tangent. The ayah begins with آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ. And you mentioned that these two verses were given to the Prophet ﷺ in Mi'raj. For the audience to understand, there are different modes that wahi came through, different mediums, right, Shaykh? One of the mediums was, Shaykh, want to mention some of the mediums of wahi?
So some of the mediums were that the wahi came in the form of a true dream. Mm-hmm. That was the first 6 months. And this is the reason the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that true dreams are 1/46 of prophethood. And then some of the scholars go into it that 6 months equates to half a year.
Uh-huh.
The 23 years was the whole wahi. So you multiply 23 by 2, 46. So that's why that half a year equates to be 1/46. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to get the wahi through a ringing of a bell. And that was the most toughest on him, sallallahu alayhi
wasallam. It was overwhelming, right, Sheikh?
It was the toughest. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also got wahi through Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And then through Angel Jibreel in his true form, which happened a few times.
A few times. So all of these are different modes of wahi. And wahi was always, it was never an easy process, right? Like, so the hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit, where he mentions that, you know, the Prophet's head was on my lap. And when wahi came down, it was as if my lap or my thigh was about to crack. Like, that's how heavy it was. He was sitting on a camel, and when wahi was revealed, the camel sat down, unable to bear that pressure. So this is, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we were to reveal the Quran upon a mountain, you would see it just quake and tremble into small particles of dust. It wouldn't be able to handle it. And Allah says this Quran was given to the heart of the human being. So one of those forms of wahi was direct wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which took place in the journey of Mi'raj. There are various ways of looking at these two verses, but we will take this angle. Now, it doesn't mean that there's no other angle to look at. This is the angle that Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah and Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah prefer. So the Prophet ﷺ goes through this beautiful journey, and he passes through all the heavens, and he reaches Sidratul Muntaha, as Shaykh was mentioning. Just imagine this, right? Like, you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And you know you're going to meet Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam has already informed you. And you've been praying to Allah for 10 years, and you've been going through the struggle of dealing with the mushrikun of Mecca, losing your blessed wife, losing your uncle who was your protector, and now you're being taken up to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, what would be racing through your mind? It's like, you know, someone that you truly love, your mother, your father, your someone that you're, you know, you've been away for a long time, and finally you're going back. Like, that, what are you thinking about? You know, how excited are you? What are the thoughts that are crossing your mind? So the Prophet is going up, reaches the point of Sidratul Muntaha, and Jibreel alayhi salam says, if I move an inch closer, or if I move an inch further, my wings will burst into flames. I can't go further. And that's when the Prophet continues to ascend on his own. And he reaches his point where he is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the opinion of the majority of the Sahaba. Even though there is a small difference of opinion with Aisha radiallahu anha, who says that no, he did not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather he was revealed to him and he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. Nonetheless, when he reaches this point, Jibreel alayhi salam tells him before he goes that when you get there, you know, read some praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he gets to that point, he recites At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. Right, Sheikh, do you have Sheikh Abdullah watching?
That is Sheikh Abdullah.
Sheikh Abdullah is watching.
Wow. Is notorious that I don't know what that is. I remember
we feel special. We feel special, Bijan. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. So nonetheless, he recites the beginning of At-tahiyyat, and everyone that's listening, we should try to, you know, envision this scene taking place, that the Prophet ﷺ reaches in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the first words that leaves his tongue. At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wat-tayyibatu. He's saying, stop reading my notes. Which I have to, man. You know, I have nothing else around on me anyways. I gotta use those notes, mashallah. He reads that all of my belongings, all of my life, my physical, my monetary, all of my commodities belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is yours, ya Allah. And when he finishes saying this, there comes a response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Sultan also, mashallah, watching. Hope you're doing well, Sheikh. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies by saying, peace mercy and blessings from Allah are upon you, O my beloved. So Allah sends his salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly while he's in front of him. And, you know, this same salam is what we cherish, because truly a person will never be at ease. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says a person will never be at ease and comfort until the moment he hears a salam from the angels when he enters into Jannah. فَسَلَامٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينِ. Right? Salam to you, peace be to you. So when the Prophet hears this, at the highest point of his, physically at the highest point, and being so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he responds, remembering you and I, saying, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. That peace be upon me and all of my pious believers. Not just me, O Allah, that dua that you made, let's not keep it exclusive to me, but rather let's make it inclusive to all of my followers, that they too can benefit from the peace that you are sending me and the blessings and the forgiveness. And he remembers us at the high. Sheikh, I find that to be very interesting, right? Because the higher we go, the further we get in life, the easier we forget where we came from, right? Like we were just from that small town, that, you know, with this village, with this small community, we had very little on us. And now we've made it to a certain point in our life, and now we've forgotten about those people. Sheikh, isn't that, do you find that to be true too? Or am I just, is that just something which I'm thinking, or I'm just thinking about?
That happens. I remember when I came back from Yemen, and I was assistant imam in one of the mosques in Bradford. I was teaching one of the uncles. Mm-hmm. He told me about one of his nephews who is now a multimillionaire due mm-hmm. to Indian food restaurants. And he says when he got his first takeaway, it wasn't even in a restaurant. He says he took help from me.
Mm-hmm.
Helped him out building everything up, and he would hug me whenever he would see me,
because he helped him.
You helped him in the beginning, and when he opened up his first restaurant, he actually called me, was one of the special guests. Then he opened up a second one. He just gave me a call. I just opened up my second one, and he only lives maybe 10 minute walk or 5 minute walk from his house. He says now he doesn't even come out and give me salam from his car. He drives a big Bentley. He doesn't even come out to give me salams. He doesn't have even,
because he feels like he's gotten past that now, right?
No longer on the same level.
SubhanAllah. I mean, that's what the Prophet, when he was speaking about foolish people, he mentioned, بِئْسَ لَعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ عَطَى وَتَغَى وَنَسِيَ الْمُبْتَدَى وَالْمُنْتَهَى. That, you know, foolish is that individual. That unfortunate is that individual who has forgotten about where he came from and where he's going. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. Allah says that insan has, you know, killed themselves because they've forgotten where they came from. They came from مِنْ نُطْفَة, from a small clot of blood. So, you know, what makes you think you're someone that is different today? Your beginnings are what humble you. The Prophet ﷺ is at the highest point that nobody else has ever reached. Musa is Kalimullah in the sense that he spoke to Allah from a mountain. But the Prophet ﷺ spoke to Allah directly sitting in front of him. Right? Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, show me yourself. And I want to see you. Right? And Allah said, you can't handle it. And he insisted. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that I will reveal a portion of my light, my nur, upon this mountain. Just look at the mountain. And then you'll see. Let's see what happens. فلما تجلى ربه جعله دكا وخر موسى صعقا. Right, when he saw that light hit the mountain became dust and he knocked out. He fell unconscious. And he woke up and said, سبحانك. Oh Allah. فلما أفاق قال سبحانك تبت إليك. Oh Allah, I apologize. I can't handle this. لا تدركه الأبصار. But the Prophet of Allah has been given this beautiful, special rank. Like, and at that point where he should think about himself, his family, he thinks about those whom he truly loves. That, oh Allah, my people should also receive that same blessing, that same forgiveness, that same peace. And then, when the angels, Hamlatul Arsh, that are holding the Arsh of Allah and they are surrounding the Arsh of Allah, Shaykh, what did they say? They're watching this scene unfold and they say, whoa, What a, you know, like it's for me, it's like when we see like two great scholars sitting next to each other and they're just talking. And you just watch, like, look at them. For some, it may be celebrities. For some, it may be like it may be whoever you look up to, right? And if you look up to specific people that are great individuals, when you see them together, it's like two giants coming together. Like, wow, look at them, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the angels are watching. And this only happened once. Sheikh, what did the angels say?
Salamun.
Or after saying salam, they mentioned Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That this, we believe in Allah, we believe in the Prophet ﷺ as the last prophet, and they complete this discussion. That's where one narration ends. This is where the introduction took place. And we don't have much information about any discussion beyond that, other than the fact that Allah also gave the Prophet the five times salat, right? And the second thing that he gave him was these two verses, right? So after that discussion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began by saying, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has testified to our iman. To our iman. Allah said the Prophet and the believers have brought iman in that which was revealed to all the prophets. They have brought iman. Right. Allah is testifying to our iman. He separates, you know, it's very interesting. Allah mentions Rasul, and then after some time, He mentions Al-Mu'minun. Because our iman and their iman can never be at the same level. But Allah brings us together, that they've both brought iman. Kullun amana billahi. And Allah is saying this. Kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli. That all of them have believed in Allah. They've believed in the angels. They believed in the books and they believed in all the prophets. It's very important, right? Because many people don't understand that one of the objectives of believers and Muslims on this world is to also bring the honor and respect and reverence of all prophets back. We don't just feel bad when people speak negative about our Prophet Sallam. We feel bad when these cartoons depict Isa alayhi salam in a negative form. We feel dishonored when these cartoons depict Adam alayhi salam in a negative form. We feel dishonored when they depict Musa alayhi salam in a negative form. How can they do that? Those are also our prophets. We believe in each and every one of them. Not like who? How the Yahud. Or they will believe in some because they came from Ishaq and they would not believe in others. So Allah says that the specialty of our ummah is all prophets, we believe in them. Yeah. They're Allah's prophets, and we believe in all of them. Sheikh, and it also mentions that we believe in all the angels, right? Which is also very interesting because the Yahud did not believe in Jibreel alayhi salam. They didn't like him. Sheikh, you want to mention why they didn't like him?
Why did they not like him, Muftisab?
Yeah, because Jibreel alayhi salam was the one that would bring the punishment to them if they would act out. Right? So Allah said, hey, man, they stop liking him. So one of our you know, objectives as believers is to honor all the names of prophets. This is why the Prophet, you know, naturally we see he would speak highly of prophets. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would teach him lessons through the stories of other prophets before him. Right? Like, that's because our religion, our tradition honors the prophets of the previous scriptures more so than those scriptures honor their own prophets or those traditions. When the Prophet saw Musa, when he saw the people of Medina, the Jews, fasting on Ashura, he said, no, we are more rightful and deserving to fast on that day. Because we love Musa more than they love Musa alayhi salam. Right? There was a natural love for all prophets, right? And no other tradition has this. Other traditions bring prophets down because, you know, they're comparing prophets. And our tradition doesn't do that. Our tradition says, no, all the prophets are Allah's prophets.
Not only that, Muftisab, they also reject some prophets. For example, the Jews did not accept Isa alayhi salam. And then the Christians did not accept our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we are looking at the portion of the verse, La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rasulihi, this does not mean that certain prophets were at different statuses. This means that we believe in all the prophets. because the companions were sitting together and they were, you know, like the, like we do sometimes, just chatting away. And they were saying, you know, Ibrahim alayhi salam is given the title of Khalilullah, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has been given the title of Kalimullah, and then Isa alayhi salam is being given the title of Ruhullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam walks past and he smiles, and he knows that they're looking at the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Ana Habibullah. I am the beloved of Allah.
Subhanallah.
That's our Nabi. And I remember when we were in Syria, they used to have a majlis on Friday mornings, and this spread after Fajr prayer every Fridays, where people get together in various masajid, and they would send 92,000 times salutation upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, but the siya was really small. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Okay, the siya, the formula of the Durood Sharif was really, really small. So
when short, easy.
Really short. When people would finish, they would put that tasbih up, meaning I've done 100. So that's how they would count. So 92,000 times they would do it. Some of the boys came from London. So this was during the time when Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Shahuri was alive. So some of the boys from London, they didn't know why the boys are putting up the tasbihs. So they thought that they're actually having an auction for one of the tasbihs of the Sheikh. So they just try putting the tasbihs up.
They missed the train, Sheikh.
They did not know what was going on. They did not know what was going on. But one of the scholars who first started is Sheikh Arif, his name was. He had the dream where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that get your family together and send 92,000 times salutation upon me. So he started with his family. Then he thought this is something really beautiful. So he started gathering the locality, and then they moved into the masjid. So one of the scholars from Damascus went to Hama or Hims to see the scholars. Damascus to Hama. And when he got there, the Sheikh got up. He was really, really happy to see them. He says, Hani'un, Hani'un lakum, ya Ahlu Sham. You know, congratulations to you, congratulations to your people of Sham. And the Sheikh is like, is everything okay? He says, yeah, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. And it was the Jami' Sheikh Muhyiddin ibn Arabi in Rukn al-Din, in the Suq al-Jum'ah. And he says, I saw this dream where angels were standing on the outside of the masjid. This was the dream. And the majlis was salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 92,000 times. And he says every single person that came in, the angels wrote down their names. And then they walked in, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the middle of the majlis. So again, blessings of Durood Sharif. Again,
you started that by saying, La nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusuli.
Yes.
That we don't differentiate within the prophets and having iman in them. Like, yes. There are people that came before us who try to kill prophets.
And they did kill prophets.
And they killed prophets. Zakaria and Yahya alayhi salam, and many other prophets.
Many, 70, in one narration, 70 prophets on one day, the Bani Israel.
Prophets. So you can imagine, right, that this was their approach towards prophets. And Allah says for us, لا نفرق بين أحد من الرسل. When we speak about prophets, when we speak about Musa alayhi salam, we're told to say Kalimullah. Isa alayhi salam, we're taught to say Ruhullah. Yeah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, we're taught to say Khalilullah. This is us honoring all of our prophets. But Allah does say in the beginning of the third juz, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Now there are some prophets that we have given virtue over other prophets, like how it's been for Sahaba, like how it is for Sahabas. This does not mean we don't believe in them equally. It means that some prophets were ulul azm. They were given a higher rank, like Nuh alayhi salam, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, like Musa alayhi salam, like Isa alayhi salam, and of course our Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were given, but we believe in all of them. Sheikh, in that hadith, when the Prophet heard them, he said something very interesting, and I was speaking about it with our Miftah Online students in our Shama'il class, where he says, Inni sami'tu qawlakum wa ajabakum. I've heard what you're saying, and I've also heard, I also sense your voice is kind of, you're kind of shocked the shock in your voice. I sense the shock in your voice. And then he mentioned Ana Habibullah. He says these guys are all, they all have these statuses. Ibrahim is Khalilullah, but guess what? I am Habibullah. Musa is Kalimullah, but guess what? Only I got a chance to speak to Allah in front of him. Allah. Yes, you know, it's true that Isa is Ruhullah. But when I let Salat, he was behind me. And when he comes back, he will be following my ummah and my message. So, of course, all prophets, we believe in them equal. But there is a sense of special reverence for our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nonetheless, moving forward, Allah stopped over here, his discussion. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رَسُولِي. So Allah is saying this. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ وِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. All the way till لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رَسُولِي. Allah is saying this in regards to us, that we will be a nation that will not differentiate within prophets. So the prophet is listening to this. And now his turn comes. And he says, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Understand where this conversation is taking place. Beneath the arsh of Allah, it's taking place. But till today, it can allow us to take from those same treasures where he says, oh Allah, we've listened. We've listened. Not we will listen. Many times, Shaykh, when you go to someone and give them advice, say, yeah, we'll try to listen to it. We'll make an attempt.
Yeah.
فَمِعْنَا, we've heard it. وَأَطَعْنَا, and we've obeyed. And this is the signature quality of our ummah. That we're not like the nations before, that either they heard وَعَصَيْنَا, but they didn't believe. They didn't actually act upon it, like how Bani Israel was. Or they didn't ignore, like how the Christians were. Right? سَمِعْنَا, we've heard it, we've obeyed it. It's not سَمِعْنَا وَفَهِمْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, that we've heard it, we've understood it, and then we obey it. Right? Nowadays, Sheikh, this process becomes so stretched that I have to understand every single thing that I should do. We don't have to understand everything. If we want to understand it, we make an attempt to learn the deen of Allah. But if Sharia is telling us that we're supposed to pray this way, then we pray that way. If Sharia is telling us this is something that we should not consume, then we don't consume it. If Sharia is telling us this is the way that we walk, then we walk that way. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Right, Sheikh, you want to add on to that?
Yeah, and Mufti Sahib, during the first great battle between the Muslims and again the non-Muslims, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to see the morale of the Muslims on the way towards Badr. And if you go towards Badr, it is beautiful. It's about an hour and a half drive. It is amazing. Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to see the morale of the companions. And says, okay, give me some advice. So they say, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got up and he spoke well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that they've left everything behind. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu spoke. He spoke well. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up for a third time. Give me advice. Sayyidina Miqdad radiallahu anhu gets up. And he says, oh Allah's apostle, we will not say like the Bani Israel said to Musa alayhi salam. What did they say to Prophet Musa alayhi salam? Fadhhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qahidun. You and your Lord go fight. We are here sitting. And look at the reply of Sayyidina Miqdad radiallahu anhu. He says, rather we say, go on your Lord fight, and we will fight along with you. And I swear by the being who sent you with truth, that if you order us, we will follow you to the extremity of the earth and fight with you until your goal is attained. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears this from Sayyidina Miqdad radiallahu anhu, you know, you can see the delight on his face. You can see the delight on his face that inshallah they're ready. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up for a fourth time. He says, give me some advice. I've heard from the Muhajirs. I want to see one of the Ansar. So Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu gets up. And he knows that he wants to hear from the Ansar.
He senses it, the Prophet wants to hear from the Ansar, right?
Yes, from the Ansar. And Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he was only 33, you know, when he was wounded. And then when he passed away, 70,000 angels came to pray over him. And he was only 33 at that time. At this time, he must have been in his late 20s. He was one of the leaders of the Quraysh. And he says, we have believed in you. We have regarded you as a true messenger. And he keeps on going. And he says, march as you desire, and we are with you. I swear by the one who sent you with truth. If you were to ask to wade through the oceans, we would wade with you. And not one of us would stay behind. How beautifully said this. That they were ready to give everything. And that was their...
Sheikh, that's their reflection of Sami'na wa Ata'na. They heard a command and then they just followed through with it.
And Mufti Sahib, we see, mashallah, tabarakallah, like you guys had Imam Zaid and one of your... was it Friday night? One of
the webinar last week, Sheikh.
One of the webinars, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Look, these people, they got the deen. They got it tough. But look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. One of the brothers who was a convert from Liverpool, another convert came to him whilst he was teaching a class in Liverpool. He says, how is it if I have to pray my prayer in my bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
How is it? He says, no, it's a place that's not clean. He says, I can't pray anywhere else in the house without my family finding out. If my family finds out, they're going to throw me out. And then he asked he's a mashallah sheikh in Liverpool, who was also a convert. He says, do Muslims love their prayer like I do?
Yeah.
So that's it. Make that foundation strong. Make that foundation strong.
Ya Allah. So she was very powerful. That all of that falls under the signature quality of our ummah, of sami'na wa ata'na. This does not mean that we can't ask questions. This does not mean that we can't understand our deen. What this means is, at the end of the day, we don't practice deen because we understand it. We practice deen with or without the complete understanding. Because we have to pray salah. But if we understand it, it makes it easier for us to do it. It can encourage us to do it more. Right, so that's sami'na wa ata'na. And a lot of this is interesting. The Prophet replied by saying sami'na, that we've listened. Many a time, Sheikh, we haven't even listened. You know, when we're so defensive, right, that we're talking to someone and we're trying to prove our point, and the other person is making their point and telling us something, we don't even listen. We listen to them with a deaf ear, right? And how are we going to get to the stage of ata'na if we haven't done sami'na? Right, we don't allow ourselves to listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for an explanation of why this is important for us to do. So the Prophet replies for the entire ummah, oh Allah, what you said, sami'na wa ata'na, we will listen, we will obey, don't worry about it. Ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir, oh Allah, we need your mercy, because we will listen and obey, but we will struggle at times, right? We will struggle. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسْعَهَا. Now don't worry, you'll have my forgiveness. And let me tell you something else, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never overburden a person beyond their capacity. This is a very famous ayah, right? That Allah will never challenge us beyond our own capacity. And whatever I'm going through right now, Allah knows that I can go through it. Allah knows that my DNA is made in such a way that I can weather the storm, right? If this same difficulty was given to somebody else, perhaps they would not be able to weather their storm. And if their difficulty was given to me, I would not be able to weather the storm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, like, you know, a father knows how much each child of his can go through. And he challenges them based on that level, right? And he challenges them based on their ability and their capacity. Father knows their breaking point. And each one is different. Similarly, Allah knows what our breaking point is, where our boiling point is, our tipping point is. And he challenges us through وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. He challenges us through the loss of wealth, the loss of family, the loss of ease. Allah knows that I can live through that. If I was not able to live through that, then I would not be challenged with it. understanding that Allah knows exactly what I can go through. And because of that, Allah is challenging me. It's like a coach, Sheikh. Like a coach. When he puts his, you know, his team, and he makes them run miles, and he makes them jog, and he makes them do push-ups and suicides. What are you doing? I'm getting them ready for the real game. If they don't prepare on this, if they don't prepare before the game, they'll fall flat on their face when it comes game time.
Yeah.
I know they can handle it.
And the goat of boxing, Muhammad Ali said the same thing.
So,
I didn't become the champion in the ring. I became the champion outside of the ring, meaning training and everything. You have to go through so much. Sometimes when we see our shayukh speaking, and they maybe speak for 15, 20 minutes, you don't know how much effort's gone in that. Years of studying. Giving everything for it, traveling the world, you know, sweat, giving up food, sleeping on the ground, doing so much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and always ask them for du'as, please. You know, always ask your shayukh for du'as. And we, on Eid day, we would go to the different teachers. They would have the doors open for us.
Mm.
We just go and keep make du'as for us. Make du'as for us. And like Mufti Sahib said, there are some people out there that got some real waswas. And sometimes no matter what you say, it's going to be tough for them. It's not helping me. It's not helping me. And then you may have to send them to somebody else, or maybe even send them to somebody who will be able to give them some professional help. So people out there, we have to be careful in the way we approach each other.
Mm.
You know, don't have the yardstick that you're using for yourself or the people.
Mm.
And the advice I give to people that are on the verge, and then they may have somebody, you know, in mind for marriage, please, please speak to your parents.
Mm.
Keep them involved. Is very, very important.
Mm.
Yeah. Majority of the time, the father finds out the day of when the girl or the boy is coming to see. That is, but keep them in the loop. Because like Mufti Saab said, they know us. And when they find out, okay, there's such and such a person, then, you know, please reach out to the elders. Reach out to your friends. You know, what kind of a person is this person? Is this person going to be good for us or not? So it's a... Alhamdulillah, be very, very careful when you're reaching out to people, to reach out to the right people that can give you the right advice. Reach out to the people that give you the right advice. Giving advice, especially to, you know, people that are on the verge of breaking the news to their parents, always take it a step at a time. You know, you haven't even got Maya talking about customs and how they do this, they do that. You know, please, you know, first break it to them, and then slowly
go to the next level. Don't let shaitan take you and derail you and or divert you to other conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very powerful. When I think about this ayah, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, I'm reminded about the concept that Allah, for us, is not simply a person or a deity that we worship. Allah is a friend. Allah is a wali. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. Like Allah, our perception of Allah should not be limited on the prayer mat and in the month of Ramadan and when we give charity to people. But rather, it should be inclusive to every single thing in my life. That I am struggling to earn money for my family. Allah knows about this. And Allah is the only one that can help me right now. I am enjoying with my family. Allah knows about this. Because He's the only one that gave it to me. So I must thank Allah at this moment. Our perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be found in every struggle, every high, every low, or sunshine or rain. Allah is always there, right? It may be difficult to see that Allah is present for us in difficult times, but Allah reminds us again and again, إِنِّي قَرِيب, إِنِّي قَرِيب, I'm there, I'm there. You just have to keep looking. And I just have to keep looking. And we all go through difficult times, right? You know, like it's how Imam Ghazali rahimullah says, "Aslu dunya al bala." He says the fabric that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to create this dunya was difficulty. That's the fabric. Like the fabric of my cloth, Sheikh, is silk, right? I was messing around. No silk. Silk's haram for men. It's cotton or polyester, whatever it may be.
Oh, we got you.
That's the fabric, Sheikh. Right, but the if I have a phone, the specs of my iPhone are so and so. I don't know what they are, but whatever it is, the specs in the fabric that created dunya is what, Sheikh? Is bala, is difficulty. If there's one word that summarizes the entire world or our entire life in dunya, is liyabluwakum, is to test you. That's what this life is all about, is a test to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, right? So we think that others may not be going through hardship. They're also going through something, man. You know, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, وَفِي كُلِّ نِقْمَةٍ ثَلَاثُ نِعَمٍ. In every difficulty, there are three blessings. It's all about perspective, right? People, you know, for, including myself, you know, being a slave of Allah is not about acts in devoted worships. Being a slave of Allah is having the perception and the perspective of a believer. And that is understanding that even in difficulties, there are three blessings. Number one, that this difficulty will also soon pass, like everything else does. It will also soon pass. We just have to weather the storm. Number two, that this difficulty is in my affairs of dunya, not my affairs of the akhirah. Because if it wasn't in my affairs of the akhirah, there's no undoing it. It's finished, right? The difficulty that I'm going through is that I'm unable to, get that job that I wanted. But I'm not struggling to pray Fajr Salat. My difficulty is to do with dunya. The third one is that the difficulty that I'm going through will finish with dunya and it will not go to the akhirah, right? So it's all a perspective. So Allah says that you, kallafa means to be made responsible of. You will not be made responsible of any difficulty that you cannot handle. You're going through it, you'll be able to get through because you have the right mindset. And then Allah says, because that's true, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلِيهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Now whatever you do, it lies on your plate. The good that you do, it's given to you. The evil that you do, no one else is taking it. Like, no one else is responsible for our sins. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Sheikh, don't you see that a lot? That, oh man, you know, I'm going through this because my parents never took care of me or because of this person. Like, there's no blame game over here, right? وَكُلُّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. Everyone has their own sins on their own shoulders, right? No one else is carrying our burden for us. لَعَلَيْهَا مَكْتَسَبَتْ. So we have to be very careful that whatever we do, it reflects us. It does not reflect anyone else. We are responsible for it. Sheikh, you have anything else to add to that?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan.
The last part is the dua, right? So again, reminding yourself that this is a conversation which is taking place in the heavens. Allah is saying, the Prophet believes, the believers believe. Us as the followers of the Prophet, we believe in all the Prophets. Allah is saying this. The Prophet responds by saying, oh Allah, we heard you and we have obeyed. And then we go ahead, and then the Prophet then says that all we want is your mercy. That's all we want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that, don't worry, I won't burden you beyond your ability. But what you do, what you do, what your a'mal that you complete, you will be rewarded for it. And your sins, a sin that a person does, it lies on him or her. It does not lie upon anyone else. So when the Prophet hears this, right, this is understanding that the Prophet loves us, right, Sheikh? He says, oh Allah, like even if they did it, you know, help us out. And this is when Jibreel alayhi salam told the Prophet that ask Allah for something. This is the time to ask. Because you're right there. You don't go to a house of a king and turn around with an empty handed. You go and you come back with something. You know, and when we go to the house, we knock on the door of the king 5 times a day, man. It's not possible for us to come back empty handed. And having physical commodities is not close to having internal commodities. Right? Having that feeling of solace and peace comes when we pray it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet then responds by saying, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, you said that you won't hold us responsible beyond our ability, right? You said that. Oh Allah, do me a favor. Don't hold us responsible for the things that we forget and the things that we do by accident. Right, Sheikh? Like, so for example, if you forget while we're fasting that we're fasting and we eat, it doesn't break our fast. رُفِيَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأْ وَالنِّسْيَانِ. Right? Isn't that interesting, Sheikh? That we're allowed to, not allowed, but our mistakes that we did unknowingly are forgiven at times.
SubhanAllah.
As long as we're not.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, that we forget, we forgetfully do. Sometimes we may be so busy with our finals, other things, and we may forget to even pray. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the most forgiving. And no matter how busy you are, always put a timer. Always put an alarm on. Okay, I've got maybe a few minutes here and there. Let me go pray. When we were in college, we used to have all these lab exams and other exams. We would go up to the teacher. We need to pray. Is it okay if I just take a 5-minute break?
Would they ever say no, Sheikh?
Never. Never. And I remember my first job when I was a sales assistant stacking shelves. Yeah, stacking shelves.
Wow.
When we were younger, in our college days in England.
Sheikh, you're still young, though. I mean, you don't look too old, Sheikh.
Hey, what is that? You're doing it. So what happened was I used to go up to my department manager and tell him I need to go pray. And I would go pray during my break time. And once he may have told the personal manager. And the personal manager, after I prayed, came up to me. Come to my office. So I went to the office, and I was a skinny guy at that time, you know. And I used to wear a turban when I used to go work. So it was crazy. But anyways, she pulled me to the side and she says, listen, you're praying here and there's people that need your help on the shop floor. What's more important, your prayer or the people down there? I said, my prayer?
Mm.
And she said to me, says, don't do that again. I says, there was another person right next to me. I don't know if he came to see her. He said, don't do that again. I says, I'm going to do it again. So she saw this resolve. No matter what, it's not that good. So next time I came up to pray, she says, you know, just pray in your break time. I says, that's what I do. She says, then no problem. Do what you need to.
SubhanAllah.
But you just have to have that
resolve. And you know, Sheikh, there's no cop out. Like, don't create cop outs that, oh, it's because of this and because of that. We got to find, you know, us humans, we're very intelligent people. We can find solutions. Yes. And if you work for a Muslim employer, don't take advantage. Sheikh, I'll say that, man. Because sometimes, like, there was a Muslim that was working for a Muslim employer. The company was owned by a Muslim, but the manager was a non-Muslim. And the Muslim told the manager that on Jum'ah, I leave at 1 o'clock and I clock out till 4:30 because my prayer and, you know, all the things that come with it, it takes me 3-4 hours. So I won't be coming back, but you have to pay me till 4:30. So for a few months, this brother was getting paid till 4:30, but he was leaving at 1:30 because he said that it's a religious obligation and you can't discriminate. And she was nice. She didn't want to, you know, say anything negative to him because, like, you know, the Muslim employer, I don't want him to feel bad. I don't want him to feel like, oh, I'm stepping over my boundaries. So one day, the Muslim employer looked at, you know, the payroll and the account in the account, and he said that, why is this guy getting paid all the way till here? He said, oh, because he said that, you know, he's allowed to. He's Muslim and he has Jum'ah. I was like, come on. Like, he's allowing you to go for an hour, you're getting paid for that hour. Be like, have trust. Don't lose that trust. Right? At least they're allowing you to go for an hour. Go for an hour and come back right away. And sometimes that happens. We take advantage of our own people, right? Yeah. Nonetheless, Sheikh. That idea of what you just talked about is, like, we can forget, right? But not putting an alarm clock on doesn't mean that we forgot. That's our fault, right? But if you put it on, 3 alarms, Sheikh, it happens, right? You put on 3 alarms, and you still don't wake up. Inna sina wa akhtana. We forgot, and it was a mistake. And right when we wake up, this is the Prophet says, man nama an salatin aw nasiha fal yusalliha yadhakraha. Whosoever misses a prayer because he or she slept through it, as soon as they wake up, they should pray it. Don't delay it. Don't be like, oh, it's qada anyways, I'll delay it and pray it later. As soon as you remember it, you make sure it happens, right? Sheikh, Allah accepts that dua. And then Jibreel alayhi salam says, hey, ask more, don't stop, right? When it's working,
the door's open.
Doors open, right? رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلَ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Oh Allah, do not put a burden upon us because of our sins like you did upon those that came before us. The general translation, meaning that the people that came before, like the Bani Israel, some of them were such that if they sinned at nighttime, the next morning on their door, it would be written the sin that they committed. Which is very interesting, right? If that was us, our door would be full of a lot of sins, right? Yeah. So the Prophet says, hide the sins of my people. don't expose them in this world, right? And dear brothers and sisters, one of the greatest acts that we can do in this world is to hide each other's sins. And one of the most venomous acts, evil acts that we can commit, is to expose people's sins. Because Allah has hid their sins, who are we to go expose their sins? If we think that we're doing it for the better good, know that we should be doing it as if that person that we're exposing is our own brother or sister. How would we be doing it then? Sometimes we use a mistake of a brother or sister as a foundation to speak more negative things about them, right? Allah has hidden it, we keep it hidden. Sheikh, you want to add to that point?
And then also together with, you know, hiding a person's faults, is also to give them, again, them excuses as well.
SubhanAllah.
For example, you may reach out to someone and a person, you know, may be busy. Something may have happened, something may have come up. Yeah. So always give excuses. And when you give excuses to people, maybe somebody did something to you. You walked and somebody maybe did not give salam to you, even saw you, still didn't give salam to you. And that may have hurt you at that moment.
Uh-huh.
But once you start making excuses for that person, maybe this person is going through something at home. Maybe he didn't even see me. He's so lost in his own
thoughts.
Troubles, own thoughts. Maybe there's, no, maybe I need to reach out to him. Let me reach out to him, you know, is everything okay? I saw you today, but can we, you know, do you need any help? I remember one of the Miftah students. I had not seen this student for such a long time. So I just messaged him. I says, no, I haven't seen you in a long time. Is everything okay? He was going through some real, real troubles. Real, real troubles. Just by reaching out to him, is everything okay? Can I help you? Alhamdulillah, we got together. We tried to help him out as much as we could.
Sure, that's a lost quality, right? Like, we build our relationships and associations based upon how that person can benefit me. Very rarely have we built a relationship on how I can benefit them, right? It's always, okay, I'll speak to this guy, but what benefit do I get? It's rarely, if I speak to her or him, what benefit will I give them?
Yes.
And that's what the Prophet was like, because like no one could really benefit him but Allah. But everything he did was so that he could benefit others around him, right? Like what you were saying, Sheikh, in the Shama'il, it speaks about وَيَتَفَقَّدُ أَصْحَابَهُ. The Prophet was a man that would actually think and remember his companions. Where is this person at? Where is that person at? I haven't seen him in a few days. I haven't seen her. Right? He would think of them. In the famous story of the Abyssinian slave that used to clean the masjid of the Prophet, that when she passed away, the Prophet even remembered her. Yeah. Right?
And just like, he remembered us.
He remembered us. Well, he remembered. Allahu Akbar.
He remembered us. Wa shawqa ila ahbabi. Who are they going to be? The companions? Are we not your ahbab, the close ones? He said, "Bal antum ashabi, you are my companions." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a description of the ahbab.
Mm-hmm.
They will come after me, without seeing me, they will testify in my messengership, and they will give their lives and money and everything in my way. So, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on this beautiful religion.
I mean. So, Shaykh, this dua was also accepted. That when we sin, as long as we don't expose it, Allah doesn't expose it, yeah. Right? As long as we don't expose it, as long as we don't become people who start doing jihad of it, as we start talking about it in the open, we start posting about it, it's between us and Allah. Allah will hide it, man. Just don't open that up to others to see it. Then he makes,
not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hide it in this world, if you hide people's faults, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hide your faults
in the
on the day of judgment.
When we need some concealing.
Man satara al-Muslima satarahu Allah. No.
Shaykh is saying that whosoever hides the sin of a believer, Allah will hide their faults on the day of judgment. So that's this dua being accepted. The third dua that he made was, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Oh Allah, again, Allah has already said that we will not burden a person beyond their capacity. But the Prophet just once again says, oh Allah, just make, you know, please help us out over here. Don't challenge us, don't burden us beyond our ability, because we'll break. We can't do it. Give us ease. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at every moment of the Prophet's life, whenever he was going through difficulty, he would bring ease to him. The loss of Qasim brought the blessing of Hawd al-Kawthar. The loss of Khadija brought Mi'raj. Right? So every loss brought something good for the Prophet as well. And that's the perspective that Allah made the Prophet live with. And then he said, wa'afu anna, forgive us, waghfir lana, you know, show us your maghfirah, warhamna. All three of these are different, but we don't have time to speak about them. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it's talking about the mercy of Allah. Anta maulana, you are our protector. Anta maulana. Oh Allah, you are the one that will protect us. You are the one that guards us. You are the one that looks over us. There's nobody else that we can turn to, Ya Allah. You're the only one. Hasbunallah. Yani like, oh Allah, you know what is going on with me. You take care of me. Fansurna al-qawm al-kafirin. And help us when it comes to dealing with people that are the people that are against Islam, people that are harming Islam. Help us preach to them. Help us get this message out to them. Your brothers and sisters, these two verses, if we can't recite them on a daily basis, at least once a week, open up the Quran and revisualize this entire discussion taking place in the heavens. It was a discussion that took place in the heavens, but we have it in front of us. You know when someone gives you a letter of your father, grandfather, mother, may Allah protect our parents, give them long lives, when they pass away, and then they give that letter, their last wasiyah, or their last advice. This is the advice, this is the conversation that they had, you know, before they passed away. We keep watching that video. We keep reading that message. This is a conversation which took place and it's recorded for us. We look at it and we enjoy it. We enjoy it. We think about how this conversation reflects in our life. How we believe in Allah, the angels and all the prophets. And how we ask Allah for ease at every turn of our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to not only benefit from this conversation in this world, but allow us to be a part of that conversation in the Akhirah with the Prophet. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallah khair. Shaykhuna, that is the end for me. If there's anything else you would like to add, please add.
No, Jazakallah khair, Mufti Sahib. Wonderful job. May Allah sponsor Allah accept from you.
Jazakallah khair.
All you do for everyone.
Shaykh will be in his new house next week. So inshallah, we'll see him there. I'll say it again. Please continue to join all of our programs that we're having in the evenings. Share it with those that you think that may benefit from it. Pray for us. Pray for our institution. Pray for our parents. Inshallah, we'll see you all on Wednesday. Jazakallah khair. We truly appreciate you joining us. Inshallah, you took some benefit from it. Next week, we have another one that we're going to talk about. Can't give it away yet. Inshallah, we'll talk about it next Monday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.